Aloha from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. You're listening to the Geek News Central podcast.
Hello, everybody. It's Tuesday, 21 December 2004. I'm Todd Cochran, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast. And as usual, it has been a wonderful, wonderful day here in Honolulu weather-wise. But boy, folks, do I have a story to impart to you today. Today was geek hell. And for all the children out there, I apologize for the four-letter word, but that's exactly what it was. It was geek hell today. But anyway, I'm sure some of you are going to want to send comments in today after I get done ranting. But if you do, please send your comments to geek@geeknewscentral.com or call us on Skype at Geek News Central, or call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. And just what was that rant? Well, little did I know when I read an article that was posted by one of our co-editors this morning about the Google desktop search bar having a security issue. I thought, wow, I need to go out and update that. So I went online, and I was at work when this happened. I was telling all my coworkers, hey, the Google desktop search bar has a flaw in it. You need to update. Well, we didn't know, unbeknownst to us at the time, Google was automatically updating the desktop search bar. So I proceeded to uninstall the Google desktop search bar. That uninstall did not go as planned. Apparently, I either had an Explorer window up or something. I'm not sure exactly what caused it, but when I deinstalled Google Desktop Search Bar, it destroyed my TCP/IP stack. I mean, it just literally raised havoc so bad that there was no way I could get online. Okay, I thought, hey, I'm a geek. This is going to be no problem. I can go in and fix this. So I went in and did everything I could. I basically cleared out the, there's a way you can deinstall the Windows networking stuff. I deinstalled that as much as I could. I deinstalled, took the network devices, and I got rid of those, and I rebooted. And make a long story short, after about five aggravating hours, and I was quite literally cursing Google, and the email I sent to them wasn't slightly nicer than what I was thinking. But after about 5 hours, I just had enough. I said, give me an install disk. We'll do a repair on Windows. I threw in the towel, folks. I'd went in and looked at the registry to figure out what's going on. It was ridiculous. I was getting this mobile device, TCP/IP. There was this something we'd never heard of before that I at least never heard of before, and I found very little information online with another computer. So figuring, hey, I've done repairs with Windows before, no big deal, but I've never done one with this laptop. Well, needless to say, my disk were here at the house, and I was at work, and you know, what's the big deal? Let's throw a I had the product ID number on the actual laptop itself, so we grabbed a Windows XP upgrade disk, we threw it in. And it got to the point where it asked for my product ID number. I put it in, and you guessed it. It wouldn't take it. Okay, great. So what do we do now? Should we use the product ID from the other one, from the disk? But I said, that's, you know, that one was already registered with another computer, so we very well couldn't do that because we had to go through authentication. But I was kind of stuck. I couldn't go backwards, couldn't go forward. I had to plug the laptop. Unplug the laptop to come home. So anyway, I was sitting there trying to determine what to do, and we said, well, the hell with it. We'll just put the other number in, and there's ways that I'll just call. When I call Microsoft to do an authentication, I'll explain to them what's going on and see what they can help me out to get it switched over. Well, you guessed it. They called Microsoft. Oh, no, no, no. That's a different version. You're running in, your computer was supposed to have an OEM version install. Blah, 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 blah. No, we can't help you. And, of course, I was talking to some idiot, some Microsoft idiot that was employed, obviously not in the United States. The connection was terrible. I mean, it was outsourcing. If they're going to hire people outsourced in other countries, especially, you know, I don't know if anybody's listening from India, but you guys need to get a clue and know what you're talking about. And make a long story short, they say, oh, you need to call Sony. You need to talk to them. They're the one that's causing this problem. Well, I hung up on them. I was aggravated, and I just unplugged the computer, came to the house. I said, okay, I got the disk at home. We can fix this. I get to the house. I stick the system restore disk in, and, of course, Sony's system restore, guess what? Oh, we're only going to allow you to slick the drive. You can't do a repair. These OEM companies that provide disks that are rebuilds, that rebuild your system, yeah, they rebuild them, but they don't let you repair them. Oh, and some of you are going to ask, why didn't you use Windows Restore? Well, folks, that's where it was my fault. Sunday, I was doing some maintenance on the computer, and sure enough, I had shut off Windows Restore to recover some disk space and get rid of some of the old builds and do some cleanup, and forgotten to turn Windows Restore back on. So shame on me. Shame on me for not having Windows Restore turned on. So it served me right. Well, make a long story short, I found a way around everything, and I actually had a end up doing is putting a different Windows XP license on it. I went and grabbed one I had on my drawer that I wasn't using. So I have burned two licenses on one machine and have one license that's unavailable to be used because it's an OEM and just pisses me off, I'll be honest with you. But anyway, that's enough of my rant. But folks, make sure you have Windows System Restore turned on. I know some of you don't believe in it, but make sure it's turned on so you don't get in the trouble that I did. And also, make sure that you have be advised, Google, if you're running Google Desktop Search, they are pushing the update to you. You're going to get it automatically. So the security vulnerability that's on the website today, of course, you're going to be, you don't have to deinstall and reinstall, but I guess this just gives me an excuse to try the MSN or the Microsoft Desktop Search tool, because after the havoc that Google raised, I am not going to run their search bar. Now, they did send me an email back asking me to describe the trouble that I had and in detail, and I will probably do that. But, what a day. So, yeah, we've had a great geek day. And, of course, I had a whole bunch of stuff I was going to put up on the website, and that didn't happen, and I was waiting for important emails. I could have picked it up with the ones at the house, but anyway, enough with that. On to the news for today. Don't have a long show for you yet because I have been in recovery mode the last few hours and getting the machine back up running the way I wanted to. But movable type, the people over the gents over at Six Apart have released the 3.14 version of movable type, which is going to fix some of the extreme load issues witnessed by some of us on hosted servers. This is in relation to the comment and trackback spam that has been going around. Let's see here. Next article I have is there's some interesting articles coming out, and this is the first one that actually not the first one, the second one that I saw that there some people are getting some insight on some software releases that are going to happen at the beginning of the year. And I'm going to put the link up here to Jupyter Research and Michael Gartenberg's comments about some new technology that is coming out in January. So we'll have to keep her eyes peeled and see what happens there in the software and release front. Now, there's a pretty cool article, Dave Weiner over at Scripting News. He reports, and this is, I'm going to read right off his weblog. It says, "I've only been in San Francisco for a few hours, and I already have an interesting rumor to spread. It turns out the next generation iPod will hook up to satellite radio for podcasting-like features out of the box from Apple. The rumor has it this pod will be announced at Macworld Expo next month. Maybe it will be called XPod." Now, Chris, I know you're going to be at Macworld, and we're going to have you snooping that out. Like I said before, folks, I think ultimately what's going to end up happening is podcasters are probably going to get downstream from maybe from XM Satellite. So who knows? We'll see. And we'll see if these rumors prove to be true or false. But it's a nice rumor to have anyway, don't you think? Okay. Made some changes to our setup today, and we're going to talk about that at the end of the program. All right, I've got to move over here. Those of you that are proponents or people that don't like the RIAA, I want you to check out a link that we're going to have up, Downhill Battle, a file sharing activist group out of Massachusetts has launched a campaign to send lumps of coal to the Recording Industry Association of America and the MPAA. And basically said the group will send a brick of unsightly coal for every $100 that people donate to the Digital Rights Defense Group, Electronic Frontier Foundation, Public Knowledge, and IPAC. So that sounds kind of a cool campaign. Let's see if it how much they get to send out. Now, Engadget has a great article out today about cell phone and radiation patterns. I've always contested, being a someone that's involved in electronics for a long time, and I know a little bit about RF, that, you know, anything that you stick up close to your head that's radiating a signal, and even though it may not be a high wattage, it just can't be good. You know, RF and power is, you know, that's, you know, a form of radiation itself. So they've I got a study out that talks about some of the findings that they found with using your cell phone next to your head. And I guess that is why I try to use a Bluetooth wireless device for a headset as much as possible to keep my brain from being fried. But just like the rest of you, I'm probably going to have some dead brain cells because I use my cell phone. In some interesting acquisition news, Sonic has bought Roxio software business. The Sonic Solutions Day completed its acquisition of the consumer software division Roxio, including the company's industry-renowned CD and DVD burning, authoring, photo, and video editing applications. You know, this thing has changed hands like three times now. It's amazing how many people have actually owned the product that that started out. I guess it was Creative owned it before. On Joe Ito's web, there's been an announcement today that Technoratty is going to be working with Digital Garage. Has announced that they're going to be working together to set Technoratty Japan to serve the .jp domain. So it's pretty cool to see that. That's some improvement there. Not a big surprise considering who the some of the investors are of Technoratty. So their PC Magazine gave Microsoft Spaces a pretty good review. I gave it a 4 out of 5 editor rating, and they basically gave it some good comments. And it's interesting to see what they're doing there. I know that Microsoft is investing heavily in updating the service and bringing out new features. So free is good, and people like free, and they like it integrated with the music. So I guess we'll see what happens. We'll see how much landscape MSN Spaces takes over. Now, since I had a rant on the Google Desktop Search Engine, even though I really did love the product, don't get me wrong, I did love the product, but I just didn't like what it did to my system. a talk on the MSN Toolbar Suite. Talks about there's a great review loosely coupled by Tim Marmons, I guess that's his name, on his weblog. And he goes in pretty explicitly why he likes it better. One, it indexes a lot of types of files, including source code. Unlock other tools as an Outlook integration, a.k.a. Lookout. For those of you that are not familiar with Lookout, Lookout was a search tool that was acquired that is that would just do amazingly fast searches in Outlook. It looks at short keys, and it's got a whole bunch of stuff. Now, I guess I'm going to have to look when I load it and give you guys my own personal rundown, but you get some examples. Pretty good review. Go check it out. Now, we all know that the MPAA went after torrent sites, and it looks like that Supernova and torrentbits.org are dark. Whether or not someone forced them to pull the plug or they went into hiding, we don't know, but they are definitely offline. I checked them a few minutes ago, and they still are. They're still out to count, so it's curious to see what's going on there. Now, on Trillian, we talked about it before. Trillian version 3 is out, and it's an upgrade for everyone, $25. Some people aren't real happy about that, but I guess they really loaded up the features this time and should be curious to see how this falls out. They've got a chart that shows the differences between the free version and the paid version. So make sure that you check out Trillian if you use more than one instant messenger. Now, for those of you that check in here that are doing podcast, there's a great article about using Skype and podcast to record multi-session events. I've played around with this a little bit myself and have not had a lot of luck, but they do a pretty good review in this, and it's on the website Unbound Spiral. Talks about what they've done to make this work and get some tricks to have the Skype audio loud enough to make the tracks and some recording, make the recordings good. Okay, now, I didn't have a lot of news for you tonight, but I do have some news. I want to talk about the setup here for those of you that are podcasting. I was not happy, and I still am not happy, and I know that Steve Holden, thank you for sending me the two audio clips with the difference in compression to give me an idea on how to improve the audio here at the Geek News Central podcast, and I haven't quite figured out how to do that in Adobe Audition, so I think I'm going to have to revert to the applications that everyone else is using and try that out and see if we can do a little better job on cleaning up the audio. Now, what I did do, since I am recording this to my laptop, now the reason for that is the computer case that I have on my primary PC here in the office, it just sounds like a jet engine when it's running. So I'm still recording to my PC, but I did buy a Creative Labs PCM CIA audio card, which thus far, from everything I can see, has a much lower noise threshold, and it I like the sound out of it so far. So I would appreciate some feedback on how this recording sounds compared to others. Also, a lot of you have sent audio clips in. I apologize for not getting those up. I'm going to try to get a couple in at the end of the show here. I know that we are really, really short today. I'm at 19 minutes. I apologize profusely for not having more information today, but to be honest with you, getting my butt kicked on the computer with the system basically not being able to be online and the issues that I went through earlier today. It's already pretty late here, and I needed to get this out for everyone. So what I may do, because the audio session is short today, I may do a midweek this week. I may do another one and put that up for you. Again, I want to thank everybody for listening in, and send your comments to geek@geeknewscentral.com, Skype me at geeknewscentral.com, or call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. I'm going to also, we should have told you this in the beginning. If you'll notice, we have changed the dating format on the podcast. This is going to allow us to better able to conform with what everyone else is doing. We had initially picked a format that we thought everyone was going to use, but it didn't turn out that way. And I think that's about all I've got tonight. I know that we're only 20 minutes into the program, and I had very few news articles for you today. But I am going to put up a music track for you, and we'll have some comments directly following these. So stand by for the comments, and thanks for listening to the Geek News Central podcast.
Hello, fellow podcastees, podcasters, podcastites, and podcastitudes. This is Chuck Tomasi of ChuckChat.com, home of the Chuck Chat podcast, extending a big thanks to Todd for his hard work on the Geek News Central podcast. Excellent job, Todd. Geek News Central is one of the shows that inspired me to do my own podcast, so stop on by www.chuckchat.com and give us a listen. Again, a big thanks, Todd.
Hello there, I saw you lie.
Thank you for listening to the Geek News Central podcast, and we'll be talking to you later in the week. Have a great, great holiday period. Thank you.